We turn in God's holy and infallible word this evening to Nehemiah chapter 12. Where we begin our reading at verse 27, and we will be considering verses 27 through 47 as our text this evening. Nehemiah 12, beginning at verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem, to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singings, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem, and from the villages of Netophathi, also from the house of Gilgal, and out of the fields of Geba and Azmaveth, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate, and after them went Hosheiah and half the princes of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, and Meshullam, Judah and Benjamin, and Shemaiah and Jeremiah, and certain of the priests' sons with trumpets, namely Zechariah the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his brethren, Shemaiah and Azrael, Milalei, Gilalei, Maai, Nethaneel, and Judah, Hanani, with the musical instruments of David the man of God, and Ezra the scribe before them. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David, at the going up of the wall, above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them, and the half of the people upon the wall, from beyond the tower of the furnaces even unto the broad wall, and from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananiel, and the tower of Mia, even unto the sheep gate. And they stood still in the prison gate. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me, and the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Minianim, Micaiah, Elionai, Zechariah, and Hananiah with trumpets, and Maaseiah and Shemaiah, and Eliezer, and Uzi, and Johanan, and Malchijah, and Elam, and Ezer. And the singers sang loud, with Jezrahiah their overseer. Also that day they offered great sacrifices, and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the command of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God, and all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the portions of the singers and the porters, every day his portion, And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Nehemiah chapter 12 is, from many points of view, the highlight of this book. The joyful praise of Jehovah's work comes to expression at the dedication of the walls of the city of Zion. The chapter begins with the registry of the priests and Levites that served the cause of God, going all the way back to the first return under Zerubbabel and Jeshua nearly 100 years before. God had preserved the priesthood for the sake of his people, not only through the entire period, but going all the way back to the institution of the Aaronitic priesthood. All continued to serve the revelation of the coming of the fulfillment of the priesthood in the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, who would become not only a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, but who would offer that necessary sacrifice to accomplish the salvation of his people, the sacrifice of his own body, as the substitutionary atonement, satisfying the justice of God. The dedication of the walls apparently took place after the city was repopulated once again. We saw in our consideration of Nehemiah chapter 11, the first two verses, that there needed to be households and fellowship within the walls of the city in order for Jerusalem to flourish as the representative of Christ's bride. Jerusalem, in the Old Testament, was the city appointed by God to represent his church, with all the privileges of her fellowship with Jehovah himself through the Messiah. That covenant fellowship with God, symbolized especially in the temple, was theirs only by Christ, the Messiah. It was theirs, therefore, only by way of the sacrifices, as typified by only in the way of Christ's sacrifice, as typified in the sacrifices made at the temple. Christ is the way, the only way, to the arms of Jehovah and to the fulfillment of his promise, "I will be your God, and ye shall be my people." Not only does Christ's sacrifice establish the church as his, but that church has been given to him by the Father as his bride. All the joy of fellowship with Jehovah of hosts was symbolized in the walls of this city of God. So we find in Nehemiah chapter 12 the necessary event taking place of dedicating the walls of the city to Jehovah. Let's give attention to this text then under the theme, dedicating the walls. We notice, first of all, the necessary dedication. Secondly, the joyful celebration. And finally, the necessary purification. The dedication of the walls of the city were a necessary expression of thankfulness to God, an acknowledgement of his goodness, his favor toward an undeserving people. The dedication of an object to God is not that we give something to God for his use. He owns all things, after all. But dedication is the thankful expression of the awareness of God's gift to us in that object and the promise to use that object for the purpose for which God gave it. God has given us many things. All must be received as belonging to the riches of our salvation in Jesus Christ, who has dominion over everything for our sakes. When we confine our thoughts to spiritual things alone, the various blessings of salvation that are ours, the place that God has given us in His church and in a faithful congregation of His people, the gospel riches entrusted to us, not only must we be profoundly thankful, but we are to dedicate these spiritual gifts to His service and praise. We earned none of them. We have often given God every reason to remove these gifts from us. His grace has been freely bestowed upon us by Jesus Christ. All these various blessings that we enjoy are the gifts that we have received in Christ and at His cost. The faith that He has given us, the repentance into which He has led us, the joys of the Christian life, they are all from Him. The family life that He has given us. And let's remember that family life flows out of this family, the family of God, which is yours whether you are single or married, whether you have an earthly family of like spiritual mind or not. This is the family life that God has given us, the covenant fellowship that is ours for Jesus' sake. They're all from Him. That we are His children and heirs is all from Him. Has He given you marriage? Has He given you children? All these things we are to dedicate to Him, the giver, in thankful praise. But here the dedication is that of the walls of the city, the walls of Jerusalem, the city of God. We have considered from time to time in this series the significance of the city of God in the Old Testament structure of the revelation of salvation in the promised Messiah. Here was the city God had chosen as the place where He would dwell in covenant fellowship with His people. Here was the city where the temple would be located, and where the Ark of the Covenant with its atonement cover or its mercy seat would represent the only way of acceptance with Jehovah through the shed blood of the Messiah. That Ark was lost now, a constant reminder that Israel had forsaken God's covenant with them and had borne the chastisement of the Babylonian captivity, even that had affected some three generations. But here they stood. Here they stood. God had proven once again His faithfulness to His covenant. He had not only brought His people to repentance and restored His adulterous bride, as Jeremiah had prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 3, He had brought them to the promised land again. He had been with them through in the face of fierce opposition. He had restored not only the temple and the word-centered worship, but He had enabled them to complete what had seemed an impossible task, the rebuilding of the walls of this devastated city. It was time, as God's covenant people, to praise God in thankfulness for what He had done, for the wonder work of His grace toward them, For this dedication, Nehemiah called the princes of Judah to him. And together they divided the princes, the priests, and singers who were Levites into two great companies. Verse 31, Nehemiah led one of them, Ezra led the other. Now view this scene in your mind's eye. The streets of Jerusalem are filled with people, including women and children. Nehemiah and Ezra, followed by the appointed princes, priests, and singers, all ascended the stairs to the top of the walls of the city, where they divided into two processions following the walls of the city until they would meet at the temple in the northeast corner of the city of Zion. There they would meet for the dedication service. At the time that those two companies stood on the walls over against each other, they stood face to face with the city of Jerusalem beneath and between them. And on those walls, raised up out of the ruins, they stood. And from those walls, which now once again pictured, represented God's protection of his people so that they might have fellowship with him, these two companies looked over the congregation of the people of God. And the trumpet sounded. And at that moment, they began to sing with thanksgiving to the God of their salvation, acknowledging that all those blessings came from Jehovah of hosts. They sang the songs of Zion, the Psalms of David. We might even guess at some of the songs they sang. Likely that they sang some of the psalms of which we sing tonight. But so they continued in that grand procession toward the temple where they converged once again. Also belonging to this dedication ceremony, according to verse 43, was the offering of great sacrifices. This was also a significant and very important, necessary part of the dedication of the walls. Because in the offering of the sacrifices was the confession that all the blessings that God had bestowed upon them came in one way, by the promised Messiah, who alone could open the way to fellowship with God and the reception of his blessings. Sin had to be removed. The transgressions of Israel, which had caused the ruin of the city of God, had to be blotted out by the shed blood of the sacrificial offerings, as those offerings pointed to Christ. Christ alone is the focal point of true thanksgiving to God. Being one with him is the only possibility of true joy. Being partakers of the sacrifice of his own precious blood through faith is the compelling motivation for joyful celebration and heartfelt gratitude to God. If we are going to offer up heartfelt gratitude to God, if we are truly to praise him, that has to be our perspective too. Our eyes have to be fixed upon Christ, our mediator. All that God has done for us, all his work in us, is because of Christ and by him. Yes, we can call attention to the faithful labors of Nehemiah and of the people in following his godly leadership, and we've done that. There are blessed fruits given to such faithful labors, even when those labors have to be carried out in the face of great opposition, as we've seen in this history. But as we've also seen, from whence comes those faithful labors? Is it not by the work of the Spirit in us? From whence come the opportunities? Is it not from God Himself? No matter the perspective taken here, we are talking about the fruits of God's grace, the work of the Word of God by His Holy Spirit. Christ must receive all the praise. And God's faithfulness acknowledged by looking at the gift of His own dear Son. In that way, even the offering of the sacrifices becomes an expression of gratitude to God, with loving eyes cast upon our Savior. But the chief characteristic of this event was the joyful celebration on the part of the entire congregation. That's noted for us already in verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. What a contrast to what we read in Nehemiah chapter 8. There you remember Nehemiah stood on that, or Ezra rather, stood on that newly constructed pulpit and opened the book of the law in the sight of all the people. And as Ezra and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, reading the book of the law distinctly and explaining its meaning, we saw in verse 9 of that chapter that all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. That was the effect of hearing the law. Their sins were exposed, their deserved condemnation revealed. The law revealed their hopelessness if not for the grace of God in the Savior who was yet to come. But with that law was proclaimed the gospel. The law laid the foundation, as it were, for true repentance. But true repentance and the joy that follows comes only by the gospel, the good news of Jehovah's faithfulness and the deliverance and preservation of His people by the wonder work of grace in the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. The ceremony of the dedication of the walls of Jerusalem marked that gracious gift of God to His people. In dedicating the walls, the children of God were acknowledging their joyful thankfulness to their Savior. They couldn't do anything but praise God. And so it must be for us, beloved. God had led His people faithfully through generations of trials and chastisements, and they had spent years moaning and complaining in hopelessness and despair, even multiplying their sins before God. God had drawn them by His word once again, and He had brought them to repentance. They had seen that they deserved only His wrath. They could do nothing for their deliverance and salvation. And they had confessed their sins before Him. And They had lived to see the hand of God bearing them up, strengthening them for their calling, restoring them, instilling in them a desire to do His will. Jehovah Himself had rebuilt the walls of this holy city and had given them the testimony of the gospel, even by the restoration of the temple sacrifices, accompanied by the word proclaimed through their faithful ministers. He had led them to their Messiah. He had bestowed upon them and restored to them the joy of their salvation. Their hearts were overwhelmed with the desire to express their gratitude to God in thankful praise. What is our own attitude toward the tremendous gifts God has given us, gifts of His grace? Do you know that you are nothing? That you can do nothing for God? That you are completely dependent upon Him and the wonder work of His grace revealed to us in Jesus Christ our Lord? Do you realize that every blessing of salvation that we enjoy is His gift? And that the very possibility of fellowship with Him is the wonder of His grace? Do you live in fellowship with the Holy One? Then your heart too has to be set on fire with joyful adoration of the God of your salvation. We also read in verse 43... that after offering great sacrifices, they rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Imagine that. Singing with such joy that the sound reverberated through the hills surrounding the city of God. Yes, there were many voices, but the intensity of their praise came to expression in the volume of their singing because they sang from the heart. Christianity is joyous. That is a humble and true understanding of Christianity, of the gospel, compels us to praise God with thankful hearts. The inspired apostle reminds us of that truth in Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. The reference there to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs is a reference to the threefold division of the 150 Psalms of David in the Greek translation of the Bible that was in use in that early New Testament period. 150 Psalms, inspired by the Holy Spirit, were given headings by the Greek translators, headings which marked them as psalms or hymns or spiritual songs. But notice what is to underlie that expression of praise to God according to the inspired apostle. For one thing, such praise flows from the word of Christ dwelling in you richly. And for another thing, such joyful singing, which expresses gratitude and praise to God, comes from grace in your hearts. A humble and true understanding of the gospel as a matter of your own experience. The evidence of God's grace in your heart compels you to praise your Savior. In Jerusalem, that praise reverberated through the hills and could be heard afar off, the text tells us. Do we sing in a way that gives God the honor and the praise that is His due? In other words, do we sing with our eyes fixed upon Jesus? And does that praise of our hearts toward our Heavenly Father extend to the hearing of those around us, to those whom God has placed on the pathway of our earthly sojourn? After all, the text speaks of the joys of Jerusalem being heard not only by those in the streets of the city, but even afar off. Our praise toward God and our joy as Christians ought to be evident even afar off. Such joyful fellowship with the covenant God, as I've often pointed out, is what sets Christianity apart from all other religions. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for what God has given you in Jesus Christ? The walls of Jerusalem, let's remember, refer to all these spiritual blessings that God has given us in Christ to bring us into the fellowship of His own covenant life and love and to protect us in that relationship. Are you thankful for the spiritual life God has given you? Are you thankful for the church to which we belong? Are you thankful for the faithfulness God has revealed to us, to you? Are you thankful for His mercy bestowed upon such undeserving sinners? Are you thankful for the relationships He has given you to assist you in your earthly sojourn? Are you living in thankfulness for your fellow church members? For your spouse? For your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you see what God has done and what He's doing? Are you living in an acute awareness of the wonder of His grace? Such thankfulness comes to expression not only in the joyful celebration of praise to God, but in giving ourselves to His cause and His service. That's another aspect of the celebration, the joyful celebration set forth in the last part of this chapter. In verses 24 through 27, we find that the people gave themselves to the service of the house of God. They took care to bring their tithes to contribute to the cause of God according as God had prospered them. We also read that they did so rejoicing for the priests and Levites that served them. The servants of the Lord, on the other hand, diligently carried out the duties of their office. All functioned in harmony to the glory of God. So what we find, therefore, is that out of this joyful celebration focused on God Himself, practical godliness also comes to expression. We see the same confirmed in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 13, the passage that we began to consider in our young adults Bible study this past Thursday night. We didn't get to this text yet, but I call your attention to Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, where we also have this combination of the expression of our gratitude to God in joyful praise and practical godliness. By him, therefore, that is by Jesus Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Now notice what follows. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Our thankfulness to God comes to expression not only in the dedication of ourselves and our actions to joyful praise in singing, but doing what is pleasing in God's sight. When we delight in God, we delight to praise him. And when we delight in God, we delight to serve him in all that we do and say and think. That leaves one more aspect of the text to consider. For our final point, let's be aware of the necessary purification in dedicating the walls of the city to the Holy One of Israel. We read in verse 30 that before the dedication ceremony began, the priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. Now, the Old Testament laws of purification were set forth especially in Numbers chapter 19. They had to do with the fact that God is unlike any of the gods of the heathen in that he is perfect in holiness and can be expected to keep his word. Nobody, not even the high priest or the king, was above God's law. And that law expressed not only God's character, but his sovereign will for his people and nation. To approach him, therefore, was to do so on his terms. And the summary of it is given us in Leviticus 11, verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Then follows verse 45. For I am the Lord, that is Jehovah, that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Again, we have to remember that these outward ceremonies of the law in the Old Testament have their reality in the spiritual purification of the heart. Are we spiritually prepared to dedicate ourselves in all things to the thankful praise of Jehovah? That was impressed upon the people of God already in the Old Testament. Joel had prophesied in Joel 2, verses 12 and 13, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So we hear the word of God in the New Testament. In 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The very desire for purification arises from God saying to us, I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. The people of God are holy because their life is in the Holy One of Israel, our Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I, partakers of Christ and his life, which is holy, are called to bring that to expression too. Be who you are in Christ. You can't show commitment to God's cause, dedicating yourself and all things to him, if your heart is not prepared to seek him. You won't see the application of this passage to your own life if you are indifferent to God and his cause, if you don't love his church, if you are living in bitterness toward your husband or wife or brother or sister in Christ. And you certainly will not dedicate yourself and all things to God if in your pride you are acting as if you are God. Our access to him, our praise and our service to him can only come through the cleansing blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let us live, committed to the honor and glory of our Redeemer. Let us worship him with joyful heart. Let us devote ourselves in all our life to his honor and his glory. Consider who God is and what he has done in giving us to Christ. Amen. Gracious Father, we thank thee for thy word, for the wonder work of thy grace also in us and in this congregation. Father, may we receive thy gifts with thanksgiving. May we celebrate with all joy the wonder of belonging to Jesus Christ, the wonder work of thy grace and faithfulness to us, and grant us thy blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen.